So the Pensacola Shipyard is available for sale, and it is a very large price tag. We all understand that. And it is on the eastern side of Bio Chico, however, which is in the city. However, working waterfronts, you know, are a serious issue in the state of Florida, and the opportunity to potentially partner with the city and maybe pursue waterfront grants to just enhance that entire area and revitalize it is something that I think the staff would like to talk about.
So Janice Gilley, Escambia County Administrator, yesterday on the Coffee with the Commissioner with Jeff Burgosh, mentions the, hey, maybe we're going to buy the Pensacola Shipyard. The what now? Okay, I'm curious. Janice Gilley is on the line with us right now. She joins us every Thursday at this time. Administrator Gilley, see, I use your formal title. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Why do you want to buy the Pensacola Shipyard?
Well, I think it's mostly a conversation that the staff would like to just have with the city. You know, it's an opportunity to own all of that waterfront there. I believe there's 6 or 7 parcels in particular that make up the shipyard property. And, you know, sometimes these opportunities are before us and we can't really see the future. And what I'm hoping is that maybe we'll take an opportunity to give a real analysis. Because I remember when I was on the county commission, we preserved Tarquin Bayou. And that was one of the things that I'm probably most proud about during my time as a county commissioner.
I didn't know you were responsible for that. That place is a jewel.
Yeah, not by myself, of course. That was board action. But I was also then able to help whenever I got to the governor's office and, you know, through working with the legislature later, make sure that we did secure all the other properties that we needed to. But preserving that bayou was first and foremost because it was one of the last undeveloped bayous in the entire state of Florida. And so when you have that vision for a future, and, you know, Bayou Chico, we did find out that we got Pot 2 or Pot 3 money yesterday to continue the restoration of the sediment in that, you know, bayou, to continue to clean it up. I mean, you know, when you travel the country and you see other places like marinas in San Diego or San Francisco or, you know, even up the East Coast, right, New Hampshire, Rhode Island and places like that, you see what a working waterfront can do and how it can revitalize a community, or maybe even over in Jacksonville or Tampa. And, you know, perhaps it's a dream, but I just think the staff would like to have that conversation between the city and the county and see if there was any way to, if there's even any interest by either board to consider taking a look at it.
Now, so from my perspective, my first reaction was cool, because I've seen, like you say, some of these waterfronts and what can be done. But then as people pointed out, and I think fairly so, you know, don't we already have a community maritime park, and don't we already have a dream wish list for the Port of Pensacola that kind of is reminiscent of some of these things? And, you know, I know city versus county, but that's kind of the response was, we've kind of been trying this already, and should we be in the development business anyway? That was kind of the response that, you know, which I'm sure will come up in the conversation. So,
yeah, that's fine. And I understand that, but it's also an opportunity not looked at as completely an opportunity lost before it even, you know, gets an opportunity for review.
So in EMS, news items, we've got, obviously, you know, the new fire chief's been hired, and I guess we've got a new EMS director as well. Is that right?
We do. David Torsell's coming to us from Alachua, and he has an amazing record. He actually just went through the certification program for their community. And he's also, so he in Alachua is fire chief and EMS, you know, EMS
combined
director.
Okay.
And yeah, so he has both sides of the house.
So does he, I mean, we have issues, right, in EMS right now. We've got the, you know, a shortage shortage of teams, shortage of people. Obviously, we're trying to hire. And even you've now managed to, the idea is to go back in and open up new union negotiations to offer more money to incentivize people to go into that. And you're partnering with the schools, you know, all this stuff. It's all good direction kind of stuff. But we're having to hold calls with EMS. People are calling EMS because they want the TV turned off, or we've got this drug overdose problem. I mean, we're stressed in a variety of different ways. I assume he's aware of all of these challenges, right?
Oh, yes. And what was interesting is, so you know, Alachua is a very similar size community, and everything we threw at him in the interview and the other interviewees, but he in particular, he had already dealt with the same situations, or he was dealing with the same situations and had provided for resolutions.
Huh.
You know, so yeah. So I feel like, I mean, look, the manpower issue is something that is, quite frankly, a national issue in every level. You know, I speak about it every time we talk,
right,
about please come and join our team at the county. But so that one would be one that is, you have to have a will, right?
Right.
You have to have people willing to come work. But I think absent that piece, I think he does have a solution for many of our other issues. And, you know, the other issue that we're dealing with, the hospitals are really working with us on, is trying to resolve the issue of the transports from their freestanding ERs, like in Perdido or on 9 Mile and stuff like that.
Yep.
That also eats up a lot of capacity of transport, and so we want to try and get that issue resolved too.
Yeah, and I know you guys are working on that as well, and I know you're getting ready to put out a public awareness campaign to encourage people to not call 911 for non-emergencies, to not try to take up the resources that are desperately needed for the right people and, you know, waste it on the wrong. I have a mm-hmm. this may be one of those, it's the kind of question I always encourage my students to ask, which is, when you just don't understand something, ask why does the county run paramedic services, EMS, instead of this being run by a private company? Just generally speaking, government is the last resort to run anything. Why does mm-hmm. the county run this instead of it being something that's run by somebody in the private sector?
Well, that has been the choice of this county to take on that mission. And as you know, Santa Rosa County, Escambia County to the north of us, Alabama, and Baldwin County to the west of us, all three do have a private entity that runs them,
mm-hmm.
Runs their EMS. And then Okaloosa County to our east uses the same as us. They use public EMS. So it's a decision. It's a policy decision made by our policymakers to maintain that. You know, and we do allow for those private entities to come in and get what we call a COPCN, which is a, you know, certificate of public need, to try and help out, you know, when we need mutual aid or things like that. It is an annually renewed certificate. And if the county had a contract with an outside outside company to provide our services, it would still be renewed, you know, need to be renewed annually unless we entered into like a multi-year contract. So, but currently I would say that our policymakers are, you know, very supportive of our emergency medical services personnel and the men and women that we have, you know, working with us.
Okay, well,
so
I mean,
it's just a policy decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm obviously optimistic that having a new chief in will help, you know, director will help take care of some of this stuff. And it was a question I had, and I didn't know if there was a particular reason why. I talked about this with Mayor Robinson twice now this week, at least, trying to get some clarity. He keeps saying it's more of a county project than a city project, but a road diet, you know, a reduction of speed on Pace Boulevard, I use that all the time, so I'm fairly familiar with it. Obviously, it is a high conflict zone with pedestrians and bicyclists because they're all over the streets all the time. It's always a little bit dangerous. What is the city, or sorry, what is the county plan here? What are you guys thinking about doing?
Well, so we're part of the project. It's a city, county, and FDOT project. Currently, FDOT is just going to resurface and restripe the roadway from Barrancas to Massachusetts. And what we're working together to do is to make sure that the posted speed limit on that area is 35 miles per hour. We're going to reduce the lane widths from the 12 to 13 feet down to a 10-foot inside lane.
Oh, wow.
And an 11-foot outside lane. Yeah, outside lane. That way we'll create a bike lane in each direction. It'll be within the existing footprint.
Okay.
So you get the reduced speed. But the other thing that we're looking at doing is roadway lighting improvements. Now, I think the final piece of this will be that working on a corridor safety study, and that'll start in the next year.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, we're really happy to be working on this. You know, when you have a really deadly road because of pedestrian fatalities and stuff like that, you don't have a choice, but you've got to make these kind of decisions and try and provide, you know, better safety.
So it sounds like that's essentially just a matter of paint. So this would not be something that would take all that long to implement, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yes, I do not have a time frame on the implementation, but I can certainly get that for you guys.
Okay. All right. Well, please keep it don't make it 30. That's my only request. But obviously, and
so
also
you can bike 30 miles an hour.
Well, you know, I want to be able to drive it at 35, but I understand that nobody drives it at 35 right now, unfortunately. So, okay.
I know.
Do you you often have a question for me, Janice? Do you have a question for me this week?
I do. Have you seen the string of pearls over the sky in Escambia County?
Is the satellite stuff? No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the so on Monday night, so where I live out in Molino, you know, you can see the sky really well.
Right.
And my nephew was outside, and he called us, and he said, "You got to come outside. There's something in the sky." And so we went outside, and it was literally like a train of jets or something, you know, flying. It looked like 100. And, I mean, we just watched it, and you could see it from one end of the horizon to the other. It
must
was pretty
be the,
cool.
It must be the Starlink satellites.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the Starlink satellites. And so if anyone gets a chance, it was about 9 o'clock at night, between 8:50 and 9 o'clock. It's pretty cool. I don't know I don't know when it'll come over again, because last night was too cloudy. But it was really a cool experience if
so,
you get to see it.
I'll tell you a story about that. I saw them for the first time, was it last year? Maybe even longer ago than that. And I was like, oh, my God, what is that? And then I looked up, and there's actually a website where you can track where they're going to be, and you can see next sighting is going to be at such and such. But I went out looking every night all the time at the right times, and I couldn't see them. I think they've actually gone and tried to change the orientation so they're not as visible anymore. Some of them may still be the old design, but I went through a phase of, I'm so eager to see these, I'm so disenchanted that I can never see them anymore. So, no, it's really cool, though, if you get a chance to see
it
them.
Is
I totally
so cool.
agree. That is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Janice Gilley, thank you so much for the time, as always. County Administrator for Escambia County. It's always a pleasure. The work is difficult, and I know it goes thankless a lot, so thank you.
But I just want to thank you, too, for staying on top of all these local public issues. I mean, your voice and telling all your listeners is so important, because we do want to make sure that this information gets out and these conversations are had about what's going on.
Oh,
so I can just speak for myself how much I appreciate what you do in terms of messaging for the county.